about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. We are streaming live on Facebook, live on KECOFM.com. I got a full house in here, and Lieutenant James, he looks good in pink anyway. But I'm going to do our weather here and do a quick update on the grain market, and then we're going to get around, because as everybody knows, youth turkey season's going on right now, and turkey season for the big boys starts when?
And then regular season starts Saturday.
All right. And Lieutenant James got a burr under his saddle, so you better watch out for him this year. But anyway, let me go real quick and do the weather. 61 degrees. Humidity is 19. Dew point's 18. Winds are out of the south at 19 miles an hour, gusting to 25. We are under a fire weather warning till 8 o'clock tonight. And I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here shortly. Let's go to some grain markets real quick, and the cattle markets also. All right, live cattle for April. Looks like everything's down to steady to down, just a hair, not too bad. April is 140.65, June's 136.40, 138.30 for August, and October's 144.95. Feeder cattle, 158.20 for April, May is 162.10. Lean hogs, all that's down. April's 99.72, May 111.50, June 117.52. How about this? Cotton, $1.43 a pound. Oil is back up. Also, it's at $105 a barrel for West Texas. And natural gas, $735. Anyway, fertilizer is not going to get any cheaper. So let's check out cash grain prices in Oklahoma as of 1 hour ago. And hard red winter wheat is $10.89. It's down. Corn, there it is. I told you, by Friday, corn cash grain prices $8.02, $7.70 on Milo and $15.93 on soybeans. So there's that going on. Wheat and corn futures extended gains in trading overnight as the war in Ukraine approaches 2 months. Worries of over tight global supply and production prospects lifted grain prices. The most active wheat contract on the Chicago Board of Trade was up 0.6% at $11.28. And the most one on corn climbed 0.29% at $7.81 and a quarter, or 81 and a quarter cents a bushel. How's that? However, dry weather in the Plains wheat belt threatens the size and quality of the wheat crop. While there are signs of slowing demand from China, soybeans still rose 0.7% to $16.87 a bushel. The world's top soybean importer, China, bought 6.35 million tons of oilseed in March. That's down 18% since the beginning of the year. As the war rages on, grain buyers continue to look for alternative origins from other countries, while other countries such as India work to meet rising global demand. Talks to end a strike among grain truck drivers in Argentina failed, raising a threat to corn and soybean exports during the country's key harvest season. Ethanol output declined week to week and inventories dropped, according to the Energy Information, the EIA. Production of the biofuel fell to average of 995,000 barrels a day in the week that ended April 8th. That's down from 1.003 million barrels the week before. In the Midwest, by far the largest producing area, output fell to an average of 935,000 barrels a day, and that's down from 946,000 barrels a week earlier. Well, a powerful spring storm continues to bring blizzard conditions to portions of the northern plains. I don't know if anybody's been watching on Facebook and got friends up in North Dakota, up in that area, but that snow is knee-deep up in there. So it's, I mean, the moisture's great, but the timing is wrong. They're calving up there right now. With snowfall intensity lessening by this afternoon, further south, numerous severe storms are likely across a large part of the Mississippi Valley, northward into the Midwest and lower Ohio Valley. Several tornadoes, widespread damaging winds, and large hail will likely occur along the East Coast. There will be a threat of isolated severe thunderstorms today. Dry, gusty winds continue in the southern high plains. This afternoon and into the early morning, there will be a threat for scattered damaging winds from thunderstorms across the Mid-Atlantic all the way up to the Northeast. Well, our KECO Ag Text line is wide open. I have my favorite person from the French Quarters down in Louisiana, Marcus Thibodeau, and Lieutenant James Edward, game warden for Beckham County here. And we're going to talk about some turkeys. And also later on the show, if you will, don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss this show. Marcus is also a firefighter for the Crawford Fire Department in Roger Mills County. And we'll see if we can get a hair-raising storm or story out of him. So anyway, we'll see what's going on. And as soon as I get back from the break, I got some awesome news that happened yesterday before and after the show to support our firefighters in Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before and your gears change and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, the temperature went to zero. We know that ain't right. Let's see what is going on there. No, that ain't right. Hang on. Temperature's going haywire. 59 degrees. The winds are out of the south at 21 miles an hour, gusting up to 26. Humidity is 21%, and the dew point is, I'm going to start calling this the Monty Tucker D point. Anyway, it's 19 degrees, or 19, It's 19. The dew point's 19. So anyway, there we have it. Well, joining me in the studio right now for the Today in Ag show is Marcus Thibodeau. He is the manager at the wildlife area up at Peck Saddle. And he's also the newly crowned Rio Grande turkey biologist for the state of Oklahoma. And then over here on the other side of him is everybody knows Lieutenant James. Anyway, Lieutenant James Edwards in here. And it's turkey season. It's a really favorite time of the year for a lot of hunters, especially turkey hunters. And the turkeys are gobbling. And it's a fun time. Well, welcome back to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us, man.
Oh, no problem. Marcus, you look tired.
Yep, that's a polite way of putting it.
I was trying to be polite, and that's unusual for me.
It's only because you got a microphone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because French Quarters is being nice, too. Well, Lieutenant James, the youth season started last week, and it looks like they've been pretty successful.
Yeah, we had here in Beckham County, we had 8 birds reported harvest. I think Roger Mills had like 10. Ellis County was only like 1, I think. Custer County had maybe a couple. Dewey County had several. But I'm seeing birds. I'm seeing more birds. I think we had a little better nest success last year from what it looks like. But by far, we're still down from where we historically were, you know, probably after that last drought. Unfortunately, here we are back in another drought situation. My hat's off again, all these guys, volunteers. That's what I hear you talking about it. It's been talked about a lot, but you can't stress how much appreciation we have for these guys and gals that are out there. You know, we had one lost down there by Lake Ellsworth, you know, back in Comanche County. This is people's livelihoods and different things that they're putting themselves on the line for. And, you know, the bills and things that are racking up for these guys, I can't express, my appreciation for everybody that's donating, keep doing it. So,
well, speaking of donations, let me tell everybody what happened yesterday. So the tickets are on the press right now. They're not out yet, but I'll give you guys a heads up of what's happening. But there will be some raffle tickets out coming out either tomorrow or Monday for the Roger Mills County Fire Department's relief fund. So far, what is actually going to be on the ticket so far is going to be a half a beef certified Angus donated by LC Price or Price Farms here in Elk City and processed by the Butcher Block in Canute. Thank you so much for doing that. There's going to be a Colt AR-15 A4 5.56 rifle, which is top of the line, or one of the top of the lines. A Browning Silver 12-gauge shotgun, a Weatherby Vanguard 308 Winchester, and a gift certificate to the Gardner Guns in Elk City. And that's undisclosed, but I'm going to tell you, it's a pretty nice gift certificate. I want to surprise everybody with that. That's been donated. And all this money is going to go into the Roger Mills Fire Department fund.
Yeah, I told the guys at the Crawford Fire Department that I'm on that I was going to be on the show today. So if they wanted me to say anything that was appropriate, let me know. And just to clarify all the Facebook stuff running around, the fuel at the Hitchin Post is paid and it's covered. So the donations are still more than welcome, but all the stuff about the fuel at the Hitchin Post is taken care of.
Yeah, and we all knew that, but something got started on social media, and it just got blowed way out. The bill might not physically be paid for yet, but it's
covered.
It's covered. And because I was at the meeting when Brian Hay, the county commissioner up there at Cheyenne, he said, "I'm paying the bills, boys, but here in about a month, we got to split it up because it was a big one."
Yeah, and fires like this, you think some of these are once-in-a-lifetime fires, and we have multiple a week that everyone's going to. So it's tearing up equipment and hard on everybody. So the donations are awesome. Everyone's been so supportive. We're eating great. I think I've gained weight on some of these fires,
So when I was at the Berlin Fire Barn the other night, I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again today. I'll eat pizza anytime, but man, I was eyeing those Snicker candy bars.
It's good. I've been on some of these wildfires where you go to fill up with water and you get to bird dogging around, and they say, well, you might run to town and buy something to eat. So it's awesome to have this support out here.
Yeah, it's good. Well, speaking of fires, these kind of fires, good or bad for wildlife?
Well,
I know you love to burn stuff.
the magnitude that these are happening at, the scale of it, and the intensity, it's not really good for anything immediately. It will recover. It's going to take a lot more time than a prescribed fire would.
Right.
But in the long term of things, it's going to, in some ways and in other ways, it's going to hurt. So a lot of these wooded draws that are being completely engulfed in flames with the cedar trees, they're burning up roost trees that are 100 years old for turkeys. And so it's going to limit some of that roosting habitat for turkeys, which is the number one limiting thing in western Oklahoma, is roost tree availability.
Right.
So if it's not choked out with cedar trees or burnt up because of wildfires run through it, they're gonna be shuffling around looking for roosts.
Well, you were talking earlier about one of those cottonwoods. It was this big, and then when you come back, it was a pile of ashes.
Oh, I mean, that deal at Berlin yesterday, mopping up and looking at stuff, it was a pretty mean fire run through there.
Yeah, it was bad and sad, but it happened. Now we're going to have to deal with it. And then this drought, like James said earlier when we started the show, it's just, it's two bad combinations.
We can rebuild barns and grass will grow back, and we can build fences. So as long as we can get through one and nobody's hurt or, anything like that, it's the best case scenario for when something like that happens.
Well, you got a list. Let me see the list here. James, he's got a nickname with me. It's called Dick Tracy. and if you ever don't want to get caught at something, just don't do it in his county. So anyway, but you was talking about some of the common, this deal came out from the Wildlife Department, common turkey hunting violations. Let's go over with them one at a time.
Okay. Yeah. These are just a list, not in any real specific order. Things that we see year in, year out. But hunting over bait, is illegal for turkeys. The technicality there is you cannot be within 100 yards of where bait is to harvest a turkey. Basically you see a lot of people that have deer feeders and so on and so forth. And they think, well, I can keep putting the bait in there and the turkeys will come. Well, again, you got to be at least 100 yards from that. Marcus can touch on later probably the issues possibly with bait for turkeys, because it can be problematic for turkeys and other species of birds. Next on the list, just hunting without a license. They don't renew their license or whatever it is, or don't get the tag. One thing we're seeing a lot is they're waiting to buy that stuff, and that's not a good deal. You need to buy it before you go to the field. You got to get it before you go out there.
It's time stamped.
Yeah, everything's time stamped. We see it all in living color all the time. So you gotta see that stuff, and you got to get that stuff before you go out. Fair to tag. Once you harvest the bird, you got to attach something. Law doesn't say what. I see lots of different things, business cards, duct tape with a Sharpie, something like that, that says the name of the person who harvested the bird, their customer ID or their license number, and the date and the time of harvest. And then right after that, or the easiest thing that people can do with that app on their phone, they can go in, check that bird in, or report the harvest immediately. What we see a lot of times is they wait until the next day or something like that. Well, technically you have 24 hours upon leaving the hunt area, but it must be checked before you process it. So once you start taking that bird apart into pieces, it must have been checked right then. So, if they just get on right then when they harvest the bird, it's really simple. with the app, harvest, report it right then, and get on down the road. Next, you know, hunting without landowner consent.
What if you see a bigger one the next day and you want to tag it so you don't tag that one?
Well, then you don't want us on your trail, but we know that happens, you know, but like I said, it's one of those deals that if you're going to be honest and do it right, you know, that's the only way to be, and we appreciate everybody that is honest and does it right. So, you know, like I said, it's pretty simple. There's not really much of an excuse for not doing it. Hunting without landowner consent, man, that goes without saying, but we see it a lot.
It's a big one in Roger Mills County.
Yeah,
with black kettle.
With the black kettle, exactly. You know, you got black kettle with all those pieces scattered all over the place. Those birds, when they get pressured that are on the public, they're going to go to the private because they don't get as much pressure. And the temptation is too great, as we saw a few years ago. Some guys, you know.
White pickup?
Yep.
I remember that story.
Yeah, you helped me on that with your surveillance. you know, then that rolls right into that hunting with the aid of a vehicle, you know. Just can't do it. You know, it's not only not safe, but it's illegal. Shooting from or across the public road or right-of-way. Right-of-way in this part of the state is 33 feet from the center of the roadway, so you have to be off the road right of way. You know, moving next, you got false application to obtain a license. We see people come and they go, oh man, that non-resident license or whatever is really high. They try and buy the resident license or something like that. Exceeding the bag limit again this year, one Tom, one and you're done. Anywhere in the state, doesn't matter.
That's the change from last year.
And it comes also with if they harvested during youth season, they're done. They can't harvest another bird coming up starting Saturday. When they kill that bird in youth season, they're done for the season. And then the hunting before or after legal hours. Cannot shoot before 30 minutes before legal sunrise, and especially if they are still on the roost. It doesn't matter. Even if it's after legal shooting light and they're on the roost and you shoot them, that is a separate violation. So they have to be on the ground. The next thing, legal hours at night for private property is sunset.
Okay.
Now, sunset out here right now is somewhere around 8.
Yep.
But on the public lands out in western Oklahoma, it is 7 p.m. shut off. And the way we enforce that is if you want to go out and scout, you want to roost birds, go back to the truck, take your gun, put it up. You can go back out without a gun and do all that. We don't want you out there with the means to take after 7 p.m.
Is that Central or Eastern time?
Central time.
Western.
Yeah, Western Oklahoma time. And then the illegal possession. Anything that you do to violate any of those laws and harvest a bird can put you into unlawful possession of wildlife not legally taken. So all of those have varying fines. Up to the illegal possession one is just shy of $1,000. Then we're talking restitution on the bird and so on and so forth. And then you can lose your license. So with our turkey situation and in the way things are right now, especially facing this drought, we're taking this stuff very serious. You know, I mean, this could impact our birds for a long time. Like Marcus was just saying, you know, are things going to recover? Yeah. But in that meantime, we're already facing a decline, and then we're hitting roost habitat and all of that. It's a critical time. We want everybody to follow these rules. That's what it's about, guys. It's compliance. We want compliance with the law, and that's all that it amounts to. And if you see it's perfect example right here. If you see something, say something. Same thing with those fires. If you see some suspicious activity out there, somebody driving around that you don't know what they're doing, guess what? The thieving's up right now, too.
Oh, yeah.
The thieving has picked up tremendously. They just recovered a stolen vehicle from Putnam right up here by Hammond the other morning. Guy got arrested. You know, it's happening more. So if you see something, say something. Whether it's wildlife stuff, thieving, fires, whatever.
Yeah, because the next one might be your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you guys are just joining me on the Today in Ag show, Marcus Thibodeau, wildlife manager for Pack Saddles in here, and Lieutenant James Edwards. He is the game warden for Beckham County. And I got a question for you. Now I got to remember what it was. I got dementia setting in, I think. Because my wife said I'm taking them allergy pills that causes dementia. So anyway, what was I going to ask you? Oh, I'll remember it here in a minute. I'll think about it. Dang, it was a good one, too.
You might have told on yourself if you're going to ask it.
No, believe me. I'm not good. So you were talking about the 33 feet from the center of the rope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting technical here.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yep.
So if you go down a counting line and the fence is off further than 33, does that mean you can be hunting in that counting line right away?
It also includes that fence deal. The way we look at it is the fence thing. The fence may be off a few feet, but you're still technically in the right of way there. Like I said, kind of one of those deals that the fence is kind of your guideline. If there's not a fence there, then we're going to go off that 33 feet. So fence or high line poles.
For crossing private property or getting on closed roads on the public stuff, people use all these different hunting apps, but due diligence, Department of Wildlife issued maps.
Right.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, because they're right on. Yeah, because the Onyx, for example, they're great. I love that Onyx, but at my place, it's off 100 yards.
Yeah, and it's not an excuse. We run into that a lot. Yeah. People.
Well, this is right here.
Yeah, they pay money for that app and then have to pay a fine for listening to it. So get the free maps that we provide online.
So what's the... How's the turkeys changed at Black Kettle and Pack Saddle in the last year? Has it got better? Is it about the same?
Like James was saying, we've had a...
Had a good hatch.
We had a hatch that's been better, probably the best hatch since, like, 2016. I can only speak for the birds where I manage stuff. We actually had GPS collars on some hen turkeys. And out here, we were really getting hit with, like, isolated weather events. We haven't really studied turkey nesting and a lot of stuff to do with that because turkey numbers have been great.
Why? We're worried about it.
You don't know, why would you look at that when they're doing good? And so when this started kind of looking at seeing a little bit of an issue, a little bit of these slow decreases, we put some GPS collars. We, as the Department of Wildlife and the researchers at OSU, Dwayne Elmore, who's been on here.
Oh, yeah.
Following those hens, little storms with, you might have heard some hail, but you're not even worried about your truck being in it, stuff like that. It was just enough to get those hens to abandon a nest, and then we weren't seeing any re-nesting attempts. So there's some theories on that and some stuff that we're going to look into, kind of what James alluded to, the feeding corn, aflatoxins in corn is really, really hard on birds. And so with it just gaining popularity year after year, more people feeding, more making bigger feeders, things like that, it might be something we need to start looking into. We're one of the few states that doesn't regulate aflatoxin levels in. You can buy that $8 bag of deer corn.
Yep.
It only takes 70 parts per million or whatever in a single feeding of corn to start causing liver damage in a turkey. So we might be, hugging them to death, thinking we're helping them out by feeding them, but we're really making them sick. So just something we want to start looking at.
Does that affect deer, too?
Well, deer are a lot bigger bodied, and so for them to eat a proportional amount, it's going to take a lot more. But over the long term, it has been seen.
Right.
Some of these aflatoxin levels in deer corn, you couldn't feed it to a pig or anything like that, you wanted to get butchered.
Right.
The levels are so high, so.
Is there an alternate?
Well, we're going to look at some alternates. They do certify aflatoxin-free corn. Some states have implemented things like that. So we just want to look at, we're starting from ground zero. How many people are feeding? How many people even know what aflatoxins are even aware of it? So it might be more of an educational thing. And then looking at some cost-effective alternatives, things like that. But it's in the very, you know, just idea phase right now that we're working towards.
Marcus Thibodeau and Lieutenant James Edward are in here with me from the Oklahoma Wildlife Department, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our talk on turkey, and I think we're going to ease into some fire stories, maybe, since Marcus is on the Crawford Fire Department up there, which we thank his for his service big time. First of all, I got a text, and this is to clarify all social media. This trumps it all. This is the secretary of the Roger Mills Fire Association. The checks were mailed out the 12th for the fuel bills. Thank you all for what you have done, and we appreciate everybody's donation and support. So that should clarify everything, and that trumps everything. So anyway, we'll be right back. It's today. We'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 11th. 1,842 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 305 brought 227. 4 at 506 brought 179. 17 at 655 brought 168. 5 at 772 brought 154. 139 at 792 brought 157.25. 5 head of heifers at 283 brought 580. 20 at 551 brought 179. 29 at 626 brought 155. 13 at 695 brought 146.50. 27 at 758 brought 142.50. Butcher cows were 30 to 90. 95 butcher bulls brought 83 to 121. Bred cows were 950 to 1335. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to, yeah, 59 degrees and wind speeds out of the south, 21 miles an hour, gusting up to 26. Humidity is 21 and the dew point is still at, or the Monty Tucker dew point is still at 19. Well, in the studio with me today from the Wildlife Department here in Oklahoma is Marcus Thibodeau, Wildlife Manager at Pack Saddle, and he's over Ellis County. And what's your official title at Black Kettle? That's federal. Are you just a right-hand man?
Oh, I can make up something to sound pretty good. But
well, let's just make something up.
The Department of Wildlife Biologist, just wildlife biologist probably. Yeah. I don't know.
He's a state biologist over the federal land there. See?
There we go.
So, but anyway, was your wife proud of us when we showed up there, when we took the convoy up there?
She said she was glad that I wasn't there because we might have gotten some trouble, me and you up there.
Yeah, probably so. I'll just leave it there. So, anyway, by the way, you have a wonderful wife. She's always polite and nice. And, you know, I was with mostly River Rat crew that came in there.
You're with the unofficial, or maybe official, media contact, Chad Ripito.
Yeah.
They were looking for people to interview the other day, and I think we took an unofficial vote, and Chad's going to be the point of contact for all media relations.
Yeah, we'll get that out immediately.
So if you see me, if you see me with a black eye tomorrow, Chad heard that.
Boy, I could make a comment, but I'll just shut up. But anyway, I got to go to Chad's. I got his back on this deal, because if the other day, if he didn't know how good of friends that I was with the Taylors up on the Taylor Ranch, he wouldn't have called, but he knew I was, and I'm so glad he did, because they needed help up there. And it wasn't just me. It was all their neighbors. Brett Metter showed up. My wife came. She's the crazy woman out on foot while we're pushing cattle. And anyway, found out this morning she might be making the front page of the High Plains Journal with that picture.
That's a cool picture.
I was just taking it so I could show all my friends how crazy my wife is. But but after everything calmed down and you start looking at that picture, it shows the real picture.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But you got you got some experiments going on with turkeys, because you are the turkey biologist for Western Oklahoma now.
Yeah, I guess I was not telling my boss I was busy enough, so they gave me some more to do. But, yeah, so part of the looking at the turkey population in Oklahoma, we're actually going to be taking some samples from hunter-harvested birds across the state. We're going to try to get a little bit from every county in the state to look at vulnerable populations. You know, with the stuff with genetics you can do now, you can see which populations are interbreeding. And so what we're kind of hoping to see from this is some populations that maybe share a watershed, so they should be interbreeding. And if they're not, we can identify that as habitat that needs some work and try to, you know, get those birds interbreeding. It's called gene flow amongst the populations and the subpopulations.
Birds from one flock going to the other. Is that what you're talking
about? Or like, you know, birds from Ellis County and Roger Mills County that share that Canadian River. If we sample those birds and we see that they're maybe isolated or not interbreeding, we would know that that Canadian River bottom needs a lot more habitat work so that they would use it and interbreed. And that's how you sustain healthy populations, is having a very good, it's called an inbreeding coefficient genetically. So there's literally a variable that if it drops below this number or gets this high, this population is going to be a little bit more susceptible to a hard downfall that's not related to weather or anything like that. It's just they've been inbred too much.
Right. Yeah, because when you said interbreeding, I was thinking split toes.
Yeah, well, you know, counting a lot of turkeys doesn't mean it's a healthy population, right?
Exactly.
If you see 100 people at the park, they might all be related.
Yeah. I guess. All right. Man, I knew this. I hope your wife's not listening.
I hope my boss isn't listening.
So
if you do harvest a bird, contact your game warden. You can call me. We've got sampling kits scattered across the state. It's really easy. We just take a little piece of meat from the turkey and put it in a test tube. I mean, that's as far as it goes.
Can they save it or freeze it or anything to give to you?
They can, but it needs to be pretty quick.
Pretty fresh. Well, you got a timeline?
Not. It depends on where you're at. Like if you're in Roger Mills or Ellis County, where we know we're going to get some birds and not be hurting for some. But if you're down like Greer County, some of those places that are really hurting for birds, we want to hear from you and we'll work with you and get somebody over there pretty quick.
Pretty quick. Okay, cool. And then, of course, you can get in the game book on our online to call any of the game wardens or the wildlife management. It's not hard to get a hold of somebody.
No.
And then if you do, please leave a message.
Yeah, because you never know where we're going to be and whether the cell phone signal is going to be worth a darn. And if I'm not in signal range, I don't get any missed call signal. I'd get, you know, unless they leave that message, then I don't know that they even called. So.
I seen a game warden, I won't name no names, last week in a bar ditch with binoculars. I won't name any names.
Hey, and that turned out to be a really good deal, you know. It was a 10-year-old boy that killed his first bird. My clue to that was after the shot, the next thing I heard was hooping and hollering. You know, not the kind like, oh, I'm shot, thank goodness, but the kind that was really excited. And I felt a little bit sorry for that kid that Mossberg 500 with 3.5-inch turkey loads kind of rocked him a little bit. So, but he was really, really happy, and you know, it's nice to see that. I remember my first turkey and 40 years ago, literally, and that's quite a thing, quite a memory for me, and that'll always be a really good memory for him. So,
Rio Grandes, they're the only bird turkeys we have out here. We don't have any Easterns or...
No, we don't have any Easterns. There's a little bit of some Merriam's turkeys up in the panhandle,
okay,
but they're not very widespread. They're in one little spot. And that's also what this genetic study is going to look at, is where those hard lines of the Eastern and Western birds are. So the Easterns and the Rio Grandes, where there's some hybridization going on, things
like
that.
And there has been some going on. It's been proven, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So just to get a better, you know, this is going to be baseline data. And so we're going to do this, and then maybe 5-10 years when we want to see, want to measure our work, see our success, or where we need to start focusing besides where we have been, that's how we're going to, you know, continue to get better in the future.
Well, you hit it on the nail a while ago when you was talking about, you know, last year and the year before, you could see the major decline in turkeys. I mean, I could see it from my front door. But there's a lot of people, everybody, even quail hunters and sometimes deer hunters, they forget what happened 3, 4, 5 years ago. You know, in 2018, I believe it was, 2018, that river behind my house got out way big, twice in a row, why the turkeys were on their nests. And guess where their nesting is? Right down there, for the most part, right down there in that river.
Yeah, and, you know, to shoot a mature turkey, you're talking about a turkey that was shot born three years ago.
Right.
So just because we had a good hatch last year, maybe in 3 years, you're going to start seeing mature birds.
Yeah, because there's a lot of jakes around my house right
Yeah,
there.
So we got to lay off the jakes a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that just kind of noticing real quick, glancing through the Beckham County turkeys. I haven't glanced through everything else, but... you know, on the check-in, you have two choices, spur length less than 1/2 inch or spur length greater than 1/2 inch, and then beard length greater than 6 or less than 6 inches. And from what I saw just gleaning quickly, there were quite a few less than 6. So,
is good, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Lie to your friends about it. Just don't lie to the department about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only information we have to go yep. off of.
Yeah, because, you know, Russ Rundle was on social media last weekend where his grandson supposedly called in the turkey. You know, he showed the poor kid calling in. He said he's doing a pretty good job, but I'm pretty sure Russ is not one to sit still and let everybody have the fun. So I'm throwing him under the bus because I know he's up north by Cheyenne. So I'll be gone by the time he gets back down here. But that's so good. That's so great with those kids out there, you know.
Yeah, so this youth weekend, I was with Greg Allen
yes.
and the guys from
yep.
the Unlimited Outdoor Adventures where yep. they take kids that might be battling cancer, things like that. Hunting, we did a deer hunt in October, and I took a kid out this weekend, and he shot his first Rio Grande turkey, and boy, he was excited. And talk about, you know, something to humble you.
What's what it's about.
Oh, man.
I mean, and maybe help feed the family nowadays with everything going on.
No, it's cool. Those kids have been through more as an 10-11-year-old than we could face right now as grown men.
Well, let's take a break. I'll come back and I'll do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and we'll get to talk to you a little bit about fires and finish up with James talking about what not to do again. Everybody knows what not to do. They just need to be reminded. So anyway, Lieutenant James Edward and Marcus Thibodeau are in here with me from the Oklahoma Wildlife Department. It's turkey season, and yeah, Russ is already texting that, so that didn't take long. But anyway, come back with the forecast. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, Russ, yeah. I'm not even going to repeat that on there. Yeah, but anyway, Russ, he explained what happened. So to his defense, he did good. Anyway, 64 degrees, 18% humidity. The winds are out of the southeast, 16 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 25 miles an hour. Today, 71, winds like we got right now, 15 to 16, up to 20, 25 miles an hour. Mostly tonight, mostly clear, 50 degrees, a lot better than last night. Who didn't cover their tomatoes last night? Because they got her this morning. I've been warning you all week, and it happened. But anyway, 50 degrees tonight, tomorrow sunny, 89, south to west winds 14 to 20, gusting up to 30. So I'm going to say our fire weather warning will be extended, I'm pretty sure, after today. We're not out of the clear yet, guys, so don't get crazy on me. Saturday, breezy, winds out of the north, 20-25 miles an hour. Saturday night, 45. Sunday, partly cloudy and 76. And Monday, very nice. Light winds, 70 degrees, would be very pleasant. So you got any welding or anything to do, save it for Monday, it looks like, because it's going to be calm winds and 70 degrees, be nice out there. I have to, before I get back to Marcus and Lieutenant Edwards, I need to give a real big shout-out to this lady that works for Simon's Catch here in Elk City, right here, South Town, South of Merritt School. Great catfish, great steaks. They've been helping out a bunch with the fire reliefs going, firefighting's going on. But there was a young lady down there. I think it was a young lady. Anyways, it was a lady. She, out of her pocket, she's a waitress there. She donated a bunch, bought a bunch of stuff, Gatorade, probably eye drops, wet wipes, the whole nine yards, and took up to the Berlin Fire Barn herself. And thank you very much for what you do. Not everybody can afford to do what's going on right now, but I mean, you take something out of your pocket to go do that. That's very nice. And then some of the favorite food, one of the favorite foods is being was up Durham and probably at Berlin. I'm not sure. There's some nice ladies out of the First Baptist Church in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. They do a lot of cooking and taking out there. They're the older ladies that bake and cook, you know, and go to a lot of trouble, not the microwave stuff. And anyway, they've been cooking for the firemen out on the fires, any of the fires. And big shout out to you, but I also want to pass along that their food pantry and their food in their cabinets is getting pretty low at the church, and they need some help. So if anybody's got some extra money or got some food they want to donate, text it in to me here, or get a hold of somebody in Cheyenne, and they'll get you in the right way. I know who you can call. You can call Rusty Wilson. He lives right here in Elk City because one of those cooks is his mom. Oh, hang on. Sorry. Do what?
Rusty might be running against Chad for media contact. Yeah, that'd be a good guy.
Never thought about that.
We might have to have an election.
Even Aaron laughed at that one. Oh, let's see. What would we call that debate?
I don't know. I might have two black eyes after this.
The Rusty Chad debate. How's that? But anyway, if anybody can, let's help out the ladies at the First Baptist Church in Cheyenne with donations. I'm telling you guys, I know I'm going to be missing shout outs to people and fire departments and stuff, but you know I care and I mean well. And anything you guys can do to help out any of the fire departments. And I was working on getting somebody to donate a 1-ton truck to the Willow Fire Department this morning. I'm still working on it. I'm going to get one before it's all over because that's my home territory down there. And if the brakes ever catch on fire, you think those red hills up there was rough? Wait till you get down in the brakes.
That's no joke.
Yeah. And so anyway, we're working on stuff, and I want to give a shout out to Coulter Vault. He almost made the news the other day. They forgot to come back to him. So he's making our news, and he's with the Delhi Fire Department. And if you ever want to find somebody with a nose on him to find the head of that fire and anything dangerous nobody else will do, he's your man. He ain't scared, but he's got that sixth sense that he never gets in trouble. And so anyway, shout out to you, Mr. Coulter Vault, one of my favorite guys in the world. But anyway, you're on the Crawford Fire Department. Oh, forgot to ask you guys about the turkey deal. Wonder if turkeys would eat soybean pellets. What do you think?
If they walked up on them, I bet they would.
Yeah. But, man, soybeans kind of high right now to be given out.
Yeah, I don't
know. Corn's getting there. Corn is there.
Yeah, I don't know. They got enough to eat right now with bugs and everything like that. I think you don't need to feed them.
One of the stories I heard from the Durham fire is it was either that afternoon or the next day. They seen a dust storm of black soot coming up across one of the pastures out there, and it was a covey of quail. But, you know, people don't realize that them quail and turkeys, they love them dead bugs because they're cooked.
Well, and, you know, if we weren't in the weather that we are right now, this is when we would be doing some prescribed fires. And, you know, an experienced turkey hunter that calls me, the first question out of his mouth is, where have you guys been burning? Because the best turkey call is a puff of smoke that's done, you know, prescribed fire.
Right.
They get in there almost immediately afterwards.
And there's a, let's see, I moved here from Colorado. I have a hunter safety course through Colorado. Do I have to take another safety course in Oklahoma to get a hunting license?
No, we reciprocate all 50 states and I believe all provinces in Canada. Yep. So, no, you don't.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Lieutenant James, and thanks for asking that. And then my wife texts in, tell us what to do. Did I miss something? What did I do?
It sounds like you're in trouble.
Dang.
She heard you call her crazy earlier. That's what happened.
Well, that's not what I called her the other night when I took that picture. So anyway. And so, but yeah, we'll just move on from that. We'll go back to your wife up there at the bar. So anyway, because I know there was a big tip. So anyway, that's why Chad's the media director now up there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Money buys everything. Marcus, you've been on, we got about 2 minutes. You've been on, you went to Beaver, you went to Durham, you went to Berlin. Man, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad that it takes tragedy to bring a community together, but this all this horrible stuff going on, you see just what it means to live in Western Oklahoma and have that community feeling. So being new to the area also, you know, I'm not from here. I moved here, and to see all the support and stuff. It makes it a great place to call home.
It's, man, wife, she knows how to junior high text. And that board was lighting up, and I thought it was some actual people texting in to ask you some questions. But anyway, so the Durham fire, it was pretty hot.
It was real hot.
And it was headed right toward you guys.
Yeah, so me and my partner in crime, Thomas McDaniel, we got on that thing, and we got on it when it was running right at his house. So I've fought fire with my job quite a bit, but to do it on a volunteer department and be with a guy where you know it's his house this fire's running towards, and it makes it a whole different thing. And, you know, then the wind shifted later that night, and it ran at his house again from the other direction. And so we saved his house. I mean, he's got a lot of black around his house, but we saved it. And it, man, we're pretty good friends now. Went through quite a bit on that deal, so.
You was good friends to start, but you're really good now.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, because, I mean, it gets emotional when you know.
I think I was more fired up than he was on a deal that, so.
Right. Well, he knew he had insurance. You didn't.
Well, I didn't care. I wasn't going to let it happen, so.
Yeah, and that's what happened the other night out there on the Taylor Ranch with Taylor Ranch Home and the Williams deal. And so, anyway, well, guys, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely, thank you.
Burnt my whole hour up. I can't talk about cattle or something like that. Never mind. Anyway, Lieutenant James Edwards and Marcus Thibodeau, thank you so much from the Oklahoma Wildlife Department. And I have some food already being donated, and I'll call you back here in a little bit. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
It's red hot.
KECO, Elk City.